We have a business meeting this afternoon, and sometimes a big part of the business meetings are taken up with what we would call housekeeping issues with the church and the building and what we need to do here and there. And that is important, but we've got to understand that the most important part of the work of the church and the business of the church is seeking and saving the lost, and how we can best accomplish that. And I want us to look at that for a few minutes this morning. Before we get into the lesson, I want to again welcome everyone. As I've told people before, we've got a faithful number of people here, and we should feel good about that. That brings honor and glory to God. We have some that we need to encourage more to be here regularly. We know some are unable to, but it is good to see everyone that is here. Before we get into the lesson, I also want to go over our theme verses again. This is something, I don't know if it helps you, but it helps me to remind myself. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for the welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. When did he have these plans for us? Well, we go back to Psalm 139. Thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. God knew the plan he had for us before we were even born. And Esther 4:14, if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And again, these verses, I ran off a copy for everyone a while back to keep with your memory work verses. Because I tell you, sometimes I get discouraged, I get distracted, and I've got to remind myself of these things. God has a plan for us, a purpose for us. We don't need to be afraid. But we need to have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I want to talk about building up the Lord's church in New Lebanon. And I want you to understand that I am not saying anything in a negative way here this morning. I just want us to consider some things. We have so many good things going for us. This evening, I'm going to talk about the days of our years, which all of us are one day closer to stepping out into eternity. And I keep asking myself, am I doing enough? What could I do differently? I want to start in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. And also turn back to chapter 3 in the book of Ephesians, and beginning at verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness, bold access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So we see that it is the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers. That's our job, and we need to see how we can build up the Lord's church and do that better. I use this map on Facebook every so often and have a circle drawn around it just for people that do not know where New Lebanon is. And that brings up one thing that I want to discuss later this afternoon. But sometimes when somebody moves to the area, they move to the greater Dayton area and they don't even know New Lebanon exists. They go to search Dayton churches, Dayton Church of Christ, and New Lebanon isn't going to show up because they're using that search term Dayton instead of New Lebanon. There are people, you look at this map, crisscrossing, driving, going to different congregations, passing one to go to another. There's something, and I don't know what it is, and I think what we're doing is doing right. We're doing it right. We need to keep on doing it, but there is something that we're missing out on somewhere as we have visitors like the one that has come a couple times that is driving a distance from where he is moving to and another half an hour beyond us to go somewhere else. Sometimes I wonder, what are people looking for? Some people, and I can't think for them, but with some people, I think having a sound congregation is not enough, and we can't change that. We want to be a sound congregation, but why is it that some are looking for a sound congregation plus something else? So we cannot control other people. That's beyond our control. We can only control what we have in each day that God gives us. You can read about some very righteous people, and they did not have a record of converting anyone to the Lord. And Jeremiah comes to mind. Throughout all of his preaching, we do not have a record of someone that Jeremiah changed. You think about Noah, preaching for 120 years. And how many did he save? He saved him and his household. And that in and of itself is an accomplishment. And I'm just stating it as a matter of fact. Sometimes it's hard for us to save our own household. And we know that God gives the increase. But how do we build up the church? It's got to be a team effort and sustained work. As we've been studying the work of the church in the class on Sunday mornings, we see that some congregations, they look at the approach of doing bigger things and in better ways and keep reaching bigger and better goals. And no one objects to scriptural and sound growth in the church, in numbers and spirit, but we've got to continue going about it as the Bible directs us. And friend, we need this church to grow. Not for me, not for my ego, not for anybody here, but for the sake of Christ. Again, it's not my church, it's not your church, it's the Lord's church. It's the Lord's church, it's his vineyard that we are working in this area. We pray for this church to grow. And after we get down on our knees and praise, then we need to get up and go out and work toward that growth. Growth in scriptural ways. And again, We have so much to be thankful for in the prayer service, starting off the month each week with a prayer service and praying, everybody praying for one another and the needs of everyone. And also that we would find those honest hearts. And some of this is going to be repetitive this morning, but how many souls are we looking for? We're looking for one. We're looking for one honest soul. And once we find that honest soul, then we start looking for another. And when we find that honest soul, we need to get them grounded. And again, some things are beyond our control. The sister that came in the morning and had been listening to sermons online and was baptized that night, and I asked her if she understood the commitment, and then she was here another service, and then she was knocked back and cut all communications. We have no control over that, but we continue sowing the seed. We are stewards of the Lord's church, and we are going to be held accountable. I am going to be held accountable for my role in this church today, and so will you. And again, I don't want it to sound like this is a duty. To me, this is the greatest joy that I have had in life, is to take the gospel and to share it with anybody that's willing to talk to me about it. And I hope it is with everybody. It's the greatest joy to come together with this group of Christians right here and work together. We were at two other congregations this week, and a lot of friends and family. I know the first night, I'm guessing there was like around 200 people where we were, and the other night, well over 100. But this is the family we're part of, and we're close. And when people talk about when they get to heaven and I want to look up Moses and ask him this question and Jeremiah and ask him this question, I want, if we are able to look up people, to look up this family right here as we all pray and help each other to work to get to heaven. But the Bible talks about the Word of God increasing and spreading. Acts 6:7, the Word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And this was accomplished by sound, firm preaching of the gospel, and only that. Again, they didn't have the chicken dinners, the fish fries, the raffles, the things to draw people. What was the drawing power? Christ. Preaching Christ. We got to remind ourselves, we all have a sin problem. We got to remind the world, they have a sin problem. The only answer to that problem is Christ. Christ is the Savior of the body. You can't be outside of the body and be saved. And we need to be sharing that message with people. Acts 5:14, believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So what are some views about growth? Well, one measuring stick that some people use is numbers. And that's the first thing they will ask someone. Well, how many people are members where you are? They look at that as a measuring stick for the growth of the church. Some people will say, what's the contribution? They'll want to know, what's the weekly contribution? Some will look at both of those together, and they will look if those numbers are going up or going down. You getting more people? How many have you gotten? You lost some? What's your contribution? And when you read in the New Testament, you never see those two standards as measuring sticks for any of the congregations you read about. You read about how many were baptized on the day of Pentecost and how many a few days later. And then later in the book of Acts, you read where the persecution came upon Jerusalem. they were dispersed and they went back to the nations that they came from. When you look at all the churches, how many were at Corinth? How many were at Ephesus? The seven churches of Asia, how many members did they have? The silence would indicate that those are not the measuring sticks that we use for the growth of a church. In the church in Smyrna, it was suffering tribulation and in poverty, but in Revelation 2, Christ said, "Thou art rich," as he spoke of their spiritual condition. We have a rich congregation here. I didn't look recently, but I don't think you're going to see any Cadillacs or Lincolns or expensive cars in our parking lot, but we are a rich congregation. We're rich. Jesus did not judge the seven churches of Asia on the basis of numbers or contribution, but on love and faithfulness. What did he have against the church at Ephesus? You left your first love. In Revelation 3:17-18, because you say, "I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see." One of the things that I don't know the right way to say this, I appreciate this group for not having some of those vehicles that I just mentioned ago. Because what happens, you see in a lot of places, Christians are consumed by materialism and worldliness. And they gotta have bigger, better, they gotta have more. They gotta have the newest, the latest, the greatest. And again, there's nothing wrong with that unless we are sacrificing our time and energy that we should be giving to God. God should come number one in our life. He is our richest possession. His word is our treasure. Whatever we accumulate here on this earth, when he comes back, if we're still alive, it's all going to be burned up. The only thing that's going to matter is our relationship with him. And back to money and contribution as goals for some churches, then a lot of times, and you see this in the denominations a lot, and again it creeps into the Lord's church, they will come up with different plans and projects, programs to get the numbers up, to get the money up. And again, we aren't speaking against anything scripturally, but sometimes those plans and projects turn into schemes. Many extremely wealthy churches are far from growing the way that pleases God. And I have been blessed to visit and see some churches that have quite a bit of contribution, and they are willing to share it with not only me but other people too, because they understand that preaching the gospel is the most important thing that there is. Some, we don't want to grow our contribution just for the sake of growing it and having a large contribution. You see some doing that, and that's basically no different than the Catholic Church. And you look at the Catholic Church, they aren't growing spiritually. They're growing wealthy, but they aren't growing spiritually. And so there's a danger, again, not to use numbers or contribution as a measuring stick. Acts 2:41, "And those who gladly received his word were baptized, And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So I started preaching here in 2015. I can't believe it's 2022 already. And I counted up since I've been here, and it has nothing to do with me, but there have been 10 people baptized in that baptistry. 10 people. But none of them are here today. That's something else we have to face as we look at building up the church, and they are not here for different reasons, different ones for different reasons, but they're not here. And we've got to keep not having a spirit of fear, but a spirit of confidence, and keep on teaching and preaching as we ought to, and not deviating from that to get into other things. I sometimes, and this is, again, I'll state it as an opinion, sometimes I think people may drive past one church to go to another church because they're looking for something that says Church of Christ, but they're looking for more like a social club, something to fulfill a social activities. And I'm so thankful we have two services on Sunday. Is it a sin to not have two services? No, it's not a sin. But I see some people that will drive a distance, spend time, and then go out to eat, do their shopping, do all their running around, and make it like a one-stop shop Sunday, and worshiping God gets thrown in on the same level as everything else. And then they have the benefit of their social activities till next week, as was pointed out in class, because we don't spend enough time with each other or with our neighbor. So those are some of the things that we should not look at for building up the Lord's church. It's not based on the numbers. It's not based on the contribution. It's not based on some man-made on authorized activities. It's not to turn this into a social club. But when we continue doing what God told us to do and praying, He will give the increase. One of the other things not to do, I don't have on this list, it's, and I've heard some people refer to it as sheep stealing. And a preacher will go around to other congregations and try to get members to come to their congregation. And that's an interesting phrase. And there's nothing wrong. And again, going back to that map, I think some of the people that live closer here should be coming here, because you have more influence in your community. I posted something on the community, New Lebanon community page the other day, looking for tractor tires for my tractor. I had like 28 comments on there, just talking about tractor tires. You know, you can reach people locally when you're involved locally. But again, that is up to other people. But we do need, when we have visitors, all of us need to take a big interest in them. Not one person, not two people, all of us. If we can't invite them out to eat, ask them their name, address. We're so glad you came to be with us. Spend some time with them. Again, if they visit here and they visit somewhere else and they get several invitations and everybody says hello, that's going to be something that has a little bit of influence. And again, when we have people visit, there's nothing wrong with asking them to come here, to place membership here, if they're sound Christians. I was we were visiting in Kentucky several years ago, and when we went in and I was talking with some of the men, and I told him who I am and where we're from, and he said, well, when you retire, if you're looking for a place to retire, come down here and work with us. And at first I thought that was an odd thing to say, but he just had it in his mind. It's like a businessman or a salesman. They're always recruiting. They are always recruiting. We should always be looking for people. I'm running out of time. I don't know about you, but I'm running out of time. And again, it's up to God to give us the increase, but I've got to remind myself of what I need to be doing. When we follow the New Testament pattern, we will have the growth that we can read about in the New Testament. And I have seen growth in people here, and I hope you're enjoying the Bible classes. I don't want to lecture a lot, but want information back and forth. Sometimes I try to lay it all out before we can start discussing it, but hopefully people are growing in their Bible knowledge, and with their memory verses, we are growing in our knowledge of God's Word, and we're growing. We need preaching that draws a line between right and wrong. And I was talking to someone this week, and I asked the person a question, and he gave me an answer like one of those answers we saw on the slides this morning. Well, you know, yes, this may not be right, but we see it as not just this. There are other ways of looking at things. And friends, if we don't say it's this way or no way, we're doing people a disservice. It's heaven or hell. There's no third option. There's good trees, good fruit. There's nothing in between. And if we don't get that across to people, they're going to be lost. And we're going to be judged on that also. And again, we want to say that in a loving, kind way. If we want to grow, we need to practice discipline. That was one of the ways that the New Testament church grew. When there is discipline in Acts 6, and great fear came upon all the church, and the believers were the more added to the Lord. One of the world religions out there that is growing so rapidly is because that religion has a definite stand on right and wrong. And people are looking for that instead of, well, this day, this is what it is. Today it's different, and tomorrow it's going to be something different. People are looking for something that's not going to change. We have that. We have that, and we need to be sharing that with people. How does this church grow? It grows from every individual growing. If I do my job, I build myself up, and I build the church up. When you do your job, you build yourself and the church up, and then all of us together builds the church up. We need, how are we going to grow? When there's something to do, we need people that will step up and do the Lord's work. And again, it's not a chore. If we look at coming to services as a chore, if we look at doing the Lord's work as a chore, if we make excuses for not being able to do it, is Christ going to say, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I don't think so. We need to have the attitude of Isaiah. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. What better work can we do? So it's a responsibility of everybody to build up the church. And with that responsibility, each church also has a reputation, just like the churches, the seven churches of Asia, they had a reputation. And no matter how good a congregation is, it can have a different reputation by just a few members. A good reputation is gained by many actions and often lost by only one. Again, I don't have anything in mind with that other than we need to be aware of that. Satan will use that as a tool. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, Proverbs 22:1. So we need to put the emphasis on faithfulness to Christ. Again, we have a very faithful group. We put our emphasis on faithfulness, the numbers will come. We need to put our emphasis on the gospel being the power to save. We need to put the emphasis on personal responsibility. We need more interest in working for the Lord than working for ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves to help the church grow. We need to prepare ourselves to help teach others. And to do that, we need to study the Bible more, to learn more of the Bible so that we can do that. And we need to strengthen ourselves, because I can be really high one day and the next day really low because I get rejected by somebody here or there, and God doesn't want us to be that way. Most of the people we talk to about the gospel are going to say no, or they might call you a name or tell you you're crazy or all of the above. But we need to prepare ourselves with God's word. We need to prepare ourselves physically to keep doing his will. We need to prepare ourselves mentally that discouragements are going to come along. If they knock us down, we get back up and we keep sharing the gospel. We share it everywhere, anywhere, and God will give the increase. Friends, we're here for just such a short time, such a short time. Again, Matthew 25:23, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." You think about, just for a minute, comparing a small congregation with a large congregation. There's a lot more responsibilities, things to be involved in, things where your faithfulness is going to be tested in a larger group. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. When you look at it, God has just given us a few things here to do. Keep ourselves holy, keep ourselves pure, walk close to Him, share His word with others. We do that, we will grow, the church will grow, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Friends, we need to keep praying and working, and God will give us the increase. If you are not part of the Lord's church, again, what are you waiting for? Jesus is the Savior of the body. If you're out of the body, you're lost. There's no hope. But you can change that. Make your life right with God. Make your life right this morning. We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.